Welcome to ID the Future from Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. In this first segment, Dr. Brian Mattson of DeadReckoning.tv discusses intelligent design with Casey Luskin. Luskin answers the question, is intelligent design really science? By analyzing the design argument for proteins, taking listeners through the observation, hypothesis, experiment, and conclusion steps of the scientific method.
Casey, you work at the Discovery Institute, which, of course, is an organization that heavily promotes the concept of intelligent design in the scientific guild. And you got a lot of colleagues there. Stephen Meyer, of course, has written some blockbuster books on this topic. But perhaps you could give our viewers, just give us a brief introduction to what intelligent design is. And I'm going to have a follow-up question to that that maybe you can even anticipate. Is it really science? The general criticism is that it's not really science. So address those two things for us.
Sure, yeah. So intelligent design is a scientific theory which says that many aspects of life in the universe are best explained by an intelligent cause rather than an undirected cause like natural selection. And I do very strongly believe that intelligent design is science. There's a number of different ways we can show why intelligent design is science, but let's talk about one of my favorite. One of the best ways to know if something is science is if it uses the scientific method to make its claims. Mm-hmm. And intelligent design uses the methods of science to make its claims. It's based entirely upon empirical evidence. It's not based upon using some kind of argument based upon religion or faith or divine revelation. So let me tell you what I mean. How does the argument for intelligent design work? Well, intelligent design theorists begin by making observations of the world around us. That's how the scientific method starts. It starts with observations, then you go to hypothesis making, then you do experiments, then you form a conclusion, okay? So ID starts with making observations of the way the world around us works. And we can observe how intelligent agents operate when they design things. We can observe the kind of information and complexity that's found in intelligently designed objects. And what we find is that when intelligent agents act, they generate something called complex and specified information. I know that's kind of a jargony term, but it's basically something that's unlikely that matches a specific pattern. So for example, the words, the sound waves that are coming out of my mouth right now are very unlikely. The odds of you hearing these words are very unlikely, so it's complex. But at the same time, they match a pattern that you recognize as belonging to the English language, so you recognize them as being designed. It's both complex and specified in that it matches a pattern, okay? So then we make a hypothesis. If a structure was designed, it will contain high levels of complex and specified information. And we can then perform a number of different types of experimental tests upon natural objects, like, say, proteins. We can look at the amino acid sequence of a protein and see that it has to be very finely tuned. You have to have a very precise sequence of amino acids in a protein in order for it to function. So in a nutshell, what's going on is you have an unlikely sequence of amino acids that is specified to match a very specific pattern that's necessary to get a functional protein. So what we see in biological systems from the top to the bottom is high levels of complex and specified information. And we can detect this high CSI, as we call it, through experiments called mutational sensitivity tests, where we mutate the amino acid sequence of a protein and find out just how finely tuned or how specified that sequence has to be in order for the protein to work. And so then what we do is we come up with this conclusion that biological systems are full of high levels of complex and specified information. But where in our experience do high CSI systems come from? Where do in our experience do information-rich systems come from? Well, in all of our experience, they have only one known cause, and that's intelligence. So we infer back that an intelligent cause was at work, okay? So that's using the scientific method, starting with, you know, first premises, right, with observations, making a hypothesis, testing it with experiments, forming a conclusion. And of course, like any scientific theory, we hold our conclusions tentatively subject to future discoveries. So right there is a scientific argument using the scientific method for intelligent design. I didn't use any faith or divine revelation or appeal to religion or divine authority in making that argument. Instead, I relied entirely upon the empirical evidence the scientific method and using observations, hypotheses, and experiments to make a conclusion. This is science. So if you can somehow, you know, see where I snuck in the religion or the faith or divine revelation into that argument, then maybe you could say that what I'm saying is not science. But what I just said, there's none of that. It's entirely science-based. It uses the scientific method to make its claims. So for that reason, I very strongly think ID is a science. It's not something that's using, you know, faith or divine revelation. It's based upon science.
Wow. Wow. That was fascinating. I like your colleague, Stephen Meyer. Of course, he brings up his – I love this other analogy he uses for our experience. He says, you know, if you stumble across the Rosetta Stone in the sands of Egypt, it's a beautiful ancient stone that's got three different types of writing on it. You stumble across this stone. Nobody stumbles across it and says, look what wind and erosion did.
You know, exactly.
I love that. It's like, no, you know, it's information. It's complex. Somebody created this, right?
Exactly. When we make design inferences every day of our lives, I mean, you see the Rosetta Stone, you know that that did not arise by unguided processes. You go to Mount Rushmore, you immediately recognize that this is not just an unlikely shape of this mountain. It also matches a pattern. It's complex and specified information. The pattern is the faces of four famous presidents. You know, every time right now as we speak, the Aaron Hernandez jury is deliberating whether to convict him of murder, right?
Right.
Well, what they're trying to decide is whether to make a design inference. They're trying to decide whether or not an intelligent agent, Aaron Hernandez, is responsible for the death of a person, Odin Lloyd. And so if they, I don't know what they're going to decide. Maybe they'll convict him. Maybe they won't. But let's say hypothetically that they do convict him. They're making a design inference. They're saying this intelligent agent is responsible for this set of events. And every time that, you know, crime scene investigators will look at a dead body and they have to decide, okay, did this person die from natural causes or intelligent causes, otherwise known as murder? They're literally trying to make a design inference. So we make design inferences and appeals to intelligent causation every day in our lives. So what ID theorists are saying, look, if we can make inferences to design in all these other fields, in archaeology, in forensic science, in just basic everyday life, why can't we also do this in biology, where all of life is based upon a language-based code? And guess what? Language-based codes in our experience always come from intelligence. So I think we have a good reason to perhaps see if we can detect design in biology.
That was Casey Luskin with Dr. Brian Mattson. Stay tuned for more episodes at ID the Future, and thank you for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.